Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
We'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, and having food distributed to all on our planet. We also include the heads of government at this time worldwide, that they make their decisions out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Noticing our thoughts and releasing any thought of the future or the past, we center ourselves in the present moment, in right now. Envision silver-white light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning silver disc, lighting up your spinal column, all the way up through the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Focusing your attention on the point between your eyebrows, know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God, the fullness of wisdom and intelligence, creativity, and unconditional love, being omnipresent. It expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me. Now, this morning I claim and demonstrate clarity and newness and possibilities about a vibrant, healthy, and vital life and lifestyle. I am open to positive change and willing to create an effective lifestyle approach to aging. I willingly release old ways of thinking and believing and treating my body that no longer serve me. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wholeness that is my very life. Matter obeys the intention of consciousness, and my body obeys my intention. My willing intention is wholeness, vibrant health, vitality, and longevity. I willingly yield to the intrinsic laws and principles of the body, knowing that these principles are subservient to the consciousness that I am. I am divine life and expression. I am divine light, love, wisdom, creativity. I declare my life, body, and consciousness are in divine order. now. I'm thankful for this conscious realization of who I really am. I'm thankful for each person gathered here in spiritual community. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. And most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is aging is not a disease. And have you noticed that there seems to be two topics that are of particular interest in this world right now? I'm not speaking about the whole world, but kind of our world over here. And that's weight release. I won't say weight loss, because whatever we lose, we look for. Weight release. And anti-aging. They're hot topics. So my question to you is, are you willing to live longer and stronger? Have you ever even thought of that question? Do you have a vision or a plan that's doable to do that? My purpose is threefold here today. First of all, I want to begin by asking a few more important questions that I think it's very important for us all to ask ourselves relative to age and aging, to come to clarity about it for ourselves, and to look at what our beliefs are about them, and actually to look at perhaps changing and shifting some beliefs that aren't in alignment with health, vitality, and longevity. So I'll get back to those questions in a moment. Number two is, are we willing to develop an effective, healthy lifestyle approach to aging? I loved what Steve Brezina's song said about aging gracefully. And number three, do we have a conscious awareness of what really supports us that way, and what does not? And what does not? So getting back to some of the questions I wanted to ask, how do you and I hold aging? How do we feel when we think about aging? Do you hold it as the same as maturity? People say no. You can be pretty old and not be very mature, especially mature spiritually. Some people aren't. What do we consider to be old as far as, you know, human beings and aging goes? But who or what do we consider to be elderly? And notice perhaps how our thoughts around that have changed over the years. Probably when we were very young, we thought 40 was old. Maybe we even thought 25 was old. What do you think about when you think about you getting old? Sometimes people have the absolute connection of getting old, getting sick, and then dying. Now, I remember when Bernie Siegel was our guest here in the early 90s, he said, is there anybody here that's not going to get out of this world without dying? Is there anybody here that's not going to die? No hands went up, of course. To die is not to be a failure. And And please remember, when we're speaking about dying, we're speaking about what? We're speaking about our body, our physical expression, the vehicle that we are traveling in this parenthesis of eternity. Who we are is soul. We don't have a soul, we are soul. And soul is eternal. It's the spiritual aspect of us. I don't even like to say aspect. Soul is spiritual. That's who we are. And when we speak about dying, we're usually speaking about the body. And death is not the opposite to life. Birth is the opposite to death. There's divine life like a circle, and within that circle is birth, death. And if you believe in the theory of reincarnation, you could say birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. And if everything truly is energy, and energy can never be created or destroyed, it just changes form, the theory of reincarnation sounds very sensible to me. But you make your own decision about that. So another question to have you ever thought about your own death, and have you ever made the conscious decision that you desire to die, and I'm speaking now about your body, peacefully? Peacefully, not wasting away with the disease. So many times people have the thought that that's the way they'll go. And I would say that they possibly haven't even thought of an alternative, or focused on it, or had it as an intention. So it's very important that we look at some of our beliefs, some of the kind of underlying thoughts that we perhaps don't bring up to conscious awareness very often. And when we do, we might just want to lay it aside. There's been topics in the newspaper quite frequently this last year about age being redefined. Good question to ask ourselves, do we believe that age can be reversed? Now, maybe not numerically, but what if there was a way to check our inner terrain, and there is, and find out our immunological age through different tests of urine, sputum, and live blood analysis? And find out just where you really are relative to your inner terrain. And there are. Are we willing to develop an effective, healthy lifestyle to be in alignment with the age that we say we'd like to live to? Have we ever even thought about, so what age do I want to live to until I make my transition from this life here? Many people don't even think of that idea. They put more thought and intention and conscious focusing on their holidays, maybe, or where they're going to go. I was doing some research about aging, and life expectancy 2,000 years ago, what do you think it was? 22. It's interesting when we look at some of these movies, especially the ones supposedly from that time, and you see a lot of old people there. Well, there weren't that many old people. Jesus the Christ in his 30s was getting on as far as that generation goes. In 1900, women who lived to adulthood and survived childbirth could be expected to live to 47. Now, I know a number of you are past that age.
Thank God we're living in the year 2005. Only 4% of the population reached 65. That's amazing. That's amazing how far we've come. And retirement and pensions were a privilege only for the wealthy. There's a lot of talk now about baby boomers, and baby boomers are people who are now between the ages of 39 and 58. And baby boomers are now showing that there are alternatives to being full-time grandparents. There's alternatives to being lonely, to sexual deprivation at that time, or to ending their lives in an old, what people would call old folks' home, old people's home. In the Times Colonist at the beginning of the year in January, there was an article about a woman, Jean Calmet, and she died in France at the age of 122. And she said she owed her longevity to port wine. And I'm sure it was probably a glass of wine, not a bottle of wine a day. A Mediterranean diet and a sense of humor. And she rode a bicycle until she was 100 and had a positive outlook. So, you know, in thinking about this topic, you know, aging is not a disease. Of course, we think about the different laws of the body, of nutrition and movement. Instead of calling it exercise, call it physical activity and cleanliness, inner and outer, and rest and recuperation. But you know, there's something about our inner terrain that I said earlier that's very, very important for people to know, and more people are learning about it now. And that is to have your inner terrain be alkaline. And it also has to do with not only longevity, but the energy that you produce. The energy that you produce. Alkalinity within your body, I like to call it the inner terrain, is an effective energy producer. Now, there's a word that means the furnace of the cells, and it's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's mitochondria, and that's the furnace of the cells. They burn glucose to create energy. In an acidic environment, which is the opposite to alkaline, one glucose molecule can produce 2 to 3 energy molecules. In an alkaline environment, it can produce as many as 32 energy molecules. That's quite a difference. So it's important for us, and we've heard this so many times, it's important for us to eat 5 to 6 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables a day, and hopefully it's organic and fresh. We can also supplement with high-quality green foods. There's lots on the market now. A few years ago, there was only Greens Plus, but now there's many different companies that produce good greens. And one serving of that per day gives you the value of 6 cups of fruits and vegetables. So, you know, I was speaking to someone in Edmonton, actually it was a couple of years ago when I was speaking to this person about perhaps taking some greens, and they took my advice, and I asked them how they were doing when I called them later on, and they said, "Oh, I stopped taking them. I got sick when I was taking them." Well, you see, what probably happens is we start taking large amounts of really, really healthy food, and of course the green supplements are very healthy and they're very strong, and you should lead into them, you know, quarter teaspoon, half teaspoon, then a teaspoon, then a tablespoon, not start taking the whole tablespoon the first day. But what probably was happening is that his body was into like a type of shock that was releasing toxins all of a sudden. And in this release of toxins, it seemed, well, he was sick, but not realizing that that is what was happening. And if he had kind of maybe cut back a little bit and hung in there, that it was like influenza that he was experiencing, but it wasn't influenza. Those symptoms would have disappeared. I want to just speak to you just a little bit about water, because I know I've mentioned it many times, and I know many of you are drinking the right amount of water every day. You know, 8 glasses minimum. But I did a little bit of research on what happens with the body when there's a shortage of water. And so many times, physicians aren't in touch with the importance of water, and they misdiagnose, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes, they misdiagnose when it is a shortage of water that's happening in our body. Heartburn is the result of the shortage of water in our upper gastrointestinal tract. Rheumatoid arthritis is a shortage of water in our joints. This surprised me. Low back pain can be a shortage of water in our spinal column and discs. Heart pain and angina can be a shortage of water in the heart and lung axis. Migraine headaches, a shortage of water in the brain and eyes. Asthma is a complication of dehydration. Dehydration. High blood pressure and hypertension is a shortage of water in our blood system, blood vessels, rather. And the adult onset of diabetes is an adaptation of severe dehydration of the body. So you can see when there's so many different diseases that can surface, that they can be very much misdiagnosed from other things. And how many people are placed on medications first, rather than shining the light of knowledge on perhaps my body is telling me something here, and it's crying for more water. It's crying for more water. I said earlier that two topics that were very prevalent these days are weight control, weight release, and aging. I was listening to a tape the other day, and this man was saying, he was actually a minister, he was saying, throw away your weight scale, because some people are just, they're almost addicted to weighing themselves every day. Instead, buy a tape measure, because when you release weight, and you can build muscle, you find your dress and pants size shrinks. But he also said, one good way of telling if you need to release, take off all your clothes, stand in front of a mirror, and jump. And whatever jiggles, that's what's got to go. And I thought that was great. I did it, by the way. I still have a little ways to go. Do you know, I'm a great believer of complementary medicine, and not only alternative medicine, but complementary and integrative, to the tune of the center had a 5-week series with two speakers every night speaking about different ways of us looking after our physical beingness. But it's interesting to know, and I don't know if this has changed, maybe now with Dr. Andrew Weil being so outspoken about that the medical profession, how they train medical doctors, needs to shift. But until a few years ago, medical doctors usually only got about 4 hours of nutritional training in their whole medical training. So I would dare say that a number of you people in the room probably know more about nutrition than some, not all, than some medical doctors. Now, it's interesting, Bill Moyers on Healing and the Mind, Dr. Ornish was speaking, that the reason many doctors don't offer lifestyle changes, now some do, but some don't. Number one, it's easier to write a prescription and doesn't take as much time. And number two, which is very sad, they do not get reimbursed for it. And this is a big area where our medical system really needs to shift. See, writing a prescription for cholesterol-lowering drugs may cost $1,500 a year, and many additional medical insurance companies pay for it. But if the doctor was to tell a heart patient, I want to teach you how to change your lifestyle, they would only pay the doctor $50. However, if you went for bypass surgery, it would be $30,000. So there's quite a bit of difference. Now, I'm not saying that the $30,000, of course, that's all the extras. So here's the thing. If you don't yet have an illness and the doctor tries to keep you healthy, the insurance company won't pay for that. Do you see how circular it's kind of become? I remember Dr. Deepak Chopra, when we had him here as a guest, he said, cancer is big business. It's big business. So we need to be really consciously aware of who we go to as our practitioners, as our medical doctors. I would not go to an overweight medical practitioner. It's important for us to become very, very knowledgeable about some things that support us and some things that don't. Mercury poisoning in our body has been pointing to a number of diseases that are misdiagnosed. And most people say, well, I don't eat or drink mercury. No, but if you have silver amalgam fillings in your mouth every time you chew, and especially if you chew gum, there's a little bit of release there. A number of years ago, I took several tests from one of my good medical doctors, and there was like a star system. I was 9 stars over in mercury poisoning, and I was asymptomatic. I wasn't having any symptoms yet. My husband Norman was only 4 stars over, and he was very symptomatic. So both of us had all of our amalgam fillings removed and replaced with the white fillings. Now, some dentists do not believe that mercury is not good for you. My question to them would be, why is there such a safety protocol when they're placing those fillings in? It's very interesting. And there's a big safety protocol that they need to follow when they're taking those fillings out. And if you're going to have those fillings taken out, take them out by a dentist that knows the protocol. You know, there's so many things that I can touch on as far as saying, so what supports us and what doesn't support us. If you check the internet and look up aspartame poisoning, you'll get a 4-page article on aspartame. Now, I just have a little bit of overview about that. Need to blow my nose. Aspartame is in over 9,000 products. That was 7 years ago. It is not a natural substance. It is not a diet product. It is not safe for anyone. It's unregulated and an unsafe drug. If something says sugar-free, don't even think about ingesting it. Because if you read the label, it probably has aspartame in it. Now, this is from a brain neurosurgeon. Quotation, when we remove brain tumors, we found high levels of aspartame in them. We're talking about a plague of neurological disease caused by this deadly poison and is especially poisonous for diabetics, and it's escalating in Alzheimer's. Aspartame has 92 official side effects, including death. It has toxic effects, usually misdiagnosed. For example, multiple sclerosis is menthanol toxicity, and that's one of the ingredients in aspartame. Systemic lupus is almost as rampant as MS, and it, of course, especially in diet pop drinkers. I know some people that drink 5 and 10 diet pops a day. So check your website for aspartame poisoning. Now there's lots of other areas that we could, you know, dive into, but I just wanted to just name just a couple of them, like mercury poisoning and aspartame poisoning, because we may be ingesting some things or have some things even already in our mouths that we're not even aware of that may be doing some damage. You know, I said earlier there's I would like to call it like 4 laws of the body: nutrition, physical activity, cleansing, and rest and recuperation. I myself, I know I was in sleep deprivation the last few years, just before my husband Norman died last year. And we had a wonderful nutritionist here for our health series, and she left a CD called Instant Stress Relief. And in there, she suggested 2 particular ingredients that I began to take, and as a result of those, and I know that I don't have as much responsibility and stress in my life since my husband died. However, since taking these 2 ingredients, and I'm going to tell you what they are in a moment, I'm sleeping 6 and 7 and 8 hours, and before I was sleeping 4 to 6. And the 2 ingredients are bee pollen and passion flower drops. Very inexpensive, taken once a day. And it's important that we all get enough sleep and rest. Dr. Carl Simonton had a conference in Vancouver a number of years ago. And we've got the video that's for rent in our little rental area of our book department. And it's called Emotion and cancer. Emotion and cancer. And he spoke about, you know, I'm paraphrasing now, and I'm kind of just pulling out the golden nuggets. Number one, have meaning in your life. Did you ever think of if we really elongated our life to 150? And if we retired at 65? What would we do for 85 years, especially to bring meaning into our life? Now, I'm not saying that our work is our major source of meaning, but it is for many people. So that's something to think about. So number one, meaning in life. Cognitive restructuring, and that's what that's the bottom line of that is, do we believe that we can heal? Do we believe we can get better? Cognitive restructuring. Number three, imagery. Shakti Gowan spoke about that 25 years ago. And then this was the one that really, I just went, what? He said, spirituality and a concept of inner wisdom, and he particularly said, it's important to believe what happens to us after death of the body is desirable. Not death of the body is desirable. It's what we believe happens to us after death. That concept needs to be desirable. And I thought, my God, thank God for New Thought. Thank God for healthy spirituality. Because how many people are not being taught healthy religion, healthy spirituality, healthy religiosity? And they're being reminded that unless they believe a certain way, they're going to go someplace plumb straight. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, there's a chuckle because there's laugh of recognition because whether we've been immersed in that or whether we just kind of heard it on the periphery, we all know that that is very much prevalent in our society. So, in closing, I would ask you to work with anyone in your life as far as your health practitioners go, who drives your body with a healing system to health and longevity. You know, sometimes doctors say, you know, if you're concerned about a little ache or pain, and well, you've got a little bit of arthritis in that hand or in that finger. Well, the rest of you is the same age, because they say that it's, well, you're getting old. The rest of you is the same. The other finger is the same age. There's other people that are the same age. Why? So many things come into it. So many things. Our attitudes, our beliefs, how we treat our body, what we put into our body, and in our environment. Do we place ourselves into environments that are conducive to health, to love, to full self-expression, to longevity, to healing? Yeah. Thank you for presencing yourself here this morning. Thank you for your conscious attention to hearing a few facts that perhaps may have been a little uncomfortable to listen to. But it's, you know, like waking up to a conscious realization. A conscious realization. The Center for Self-Awareness is about self-realization, knowing who we really are as spiritual beings and knowing that we are love at the core. And we are about what? Self-actualization. It's not only about coming here and feeling good with the music and with the people and with the topic and just being together in spiritual community with like-minded people. It's about going out and saying, what did I learn today that will make a difference to enhance my life so that I can live and be and do all that I'm capable of living, being, and doing as the spiritual being that I'm meant to be here on the planet right now. And maybe it's just one idea. And usually in your little topic notes at the bottom, it says there, what I will do. It's like, what little shift, what little result of being here today will you make that will ensure that you're here for a healthier, longer life? I acknowledge you for any decision that you may have made. God, presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you.